we had been through Exercise PAM, which was a simulation of a possible huge disaster. And PAM predicted all the systems would go down. And you can do that on paper, and you can try to imagine what it's like. Until you live it, you don't really ever know what it's like.
Tropical storm force winds extending 205 miles from the storm. New Orleans, you're going to start to feel the effects of the storm, tropical storm-wise, if you haven't already.
So we did not know how many people were left behind or who refused to evacuate or who couldn't evacuate for one reason or another. But we moved 1.3 million people out in 36 hours, and that was the largest and most efficient evacuation that the nation had ever seen in advance of a hurricane.
Already the governor has declared a state of emergency, preparing and prepping the way for emergency aid to come in here, and they might very well need it.
We felt pretty confident. We were working as one big team. The magnitude got past everybody and everything. And that's when the voids begin to happen, and that's when the failures begin to happen.
According to some studies out of LSU University, there could be upwards of 18 to 22 feet of water deluging downtown New Orleans, and that could take months to pump out. That's the latest from here in New Orleans. I'm Jeff Goldblatt. Amy, now back to you.
Communications were really, really rough in those times, in those hours, because as the water came into the city, it flooded the telephone company central office. When those rooms got flooded with waters from the 17th Street Canal, the telecommunications system went down.
The National Weather Service says people exposed to the storm will die. Wooden structures will be simply destroyed. Windows will be blown out. Debris will be flying through the air.
I think also that the federal government was on vacation in August. That's typical. So people were scattered around the world. They'd gone off on vacations to weddings and what have you. And, you know, people were being normal people doing what you do in August, and that's just kind of taking a break.
The governor's office says that right after the interview Wednesday, Blanco called the White House to appeal for federal troops. President Bush was not available.
We had over 3,000 people deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan from our own National Guard, and half of our equipment was in the war zone. Apparently, the Bush administration was doing this all over the country. And once equipment was sent abroad, it was never returned.
This is like crazy. I mean, what have you talked to people? Have you asked them why they're... I mean, I'd be out of there. I'd be on the road. I'd already be up, you know, I'd be north.
We had already on Tuesday and Wednesday acquired about 150 school buses to try to get them into the dome to start moving people out. But the school bus drivers now had gotten so frightened by the rumors that they thought their lives might be in danger if they drove a rescue bus in there. So all of this hype hurt the people, hurt our people more than any other ingredient. This exaggeration of lawlessness was a deterrent to getting timely assistance in so many ways. It was a very sad commentary.
Did I ask the president early on for help? Yes, I did. I asked him before the storm came because I know what a storm can do to my state, and I know that we need help. He wanted to help. We both got caught in trying to make a bureaucracy work on something bigger than it ever had imagined it would have to work on.
People just couldn't really deal with the idea that something like that could happen in the United States of America. This whole idea of our physical world going into meltdown all around us was something that they couldn't understand.